So it's my very, very great pleasure this morning to welcome Vicky Earle. Give a big hand. As you know, Vicky's been leading the journey for, how long?
Almost 14 years.
Almost 14 years, wow. But probably only now for another 3 or 4 months, I guess, before you go off and train to be a vicar. Vicar training. Isn't that brilliant? So, it's very exciting for Vicky. And as I said earlier, this is also the start of a new series where we're going to look over the next few weeks at parables. And it is interesting, isn't it? I'm excited about the next few weeks. Why Jesus chose to use parables so extensively, depending on how you count them. There's certainly over 40 of them written in the New Testament. And why Jesus didn't just come down and say, well, actually, this is how it is. These are the rules to follow. Just do this, and you'll be on the right track. But actually, he chose to use parables to challenge us, to make us think, to get us to ask questions. Jesus asked far more questions than he ever answered in the New Testament. There's probably about 170-odd recorded. And parables are a part of that. And so I would really encourage you, as we start this series, to think about that. To think about questioning again and thinking and allowing God to challenge us. Because that's what parables do. And that's what Jesus intended. To get us to think differently. Not just to follow the accepted norms of the culture or of religion, but actually challenge ourselves with the questions around what the kingdom is really like. So welcome, Vicky. You get to go first. Let's pray for Vicky. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we do thank you for Vicky, for her faithfulness over nearly 14 years of building on solid foundations, of creating something in the journey, and particularly also the hub of just great worth. That those foundations that have been laid have led to something that you've created that can serve the people in an extraordinary way. And Lord, I thank you for Vicky's life and the testimony of her life. And I know, Lord Jesus, that you've got some things to say to us today, this morning, right now, that you've put on Vicky's heart. And so we pray welcome on Vicky and peace. And we ask that you would bless her as she comes and speaks to us and serves us this morning. Amen.
Hello, everyone. It's really great to be here. I really love your venue. This is the first time I've ever been here. It's such a nice room, good atmosphere in it. And it's great to see some people that I haven't seen for a while, that I've known for a long time, and some new faces as well. So I just love how you all just really get into the worship. It's such a nice atmosphere of the presence of God. So it's really good to be here in that. And some of the things that God has already been saying to us this morning actually fit with things that I was feeling that God was speaking to me this morning. So that's really encouraging. So as Paul has kind of been talking about, you know, some of us may at different points of questions what we're building our life on. Things happen that cause us to question it. And last Saturday evening, I thought that the journey was launching a new set of events, open mic nights. And there's this whole thing about how the musicians in the journey had got together and they really wanted to do it and felt like it'd be a really good way to connect with the local community. And it was going to start and it was going to be launched last week. And in my presence, they would be like discussing their acts and all stuff like that. Anyway, when I arrived at the open mic night, it wasn't an open mic night. It was actually a surprise party for me. And they'd been writing stuff on Facebook, create this whole fake event. And it was kind of disturbing just how good my family and friends were at lying to me. And so I spent the last week remembering all kinds of conversations of the last few months and realizing that they weren't true. So I tell you that story as comedy, but, you know, it can lead me to question, why are the people around me so good at lying? And, you know, I just tell you this because it's just funny. They actually got like a proper professional band, which was amazing. But I kind of, because it was overwhelming, was only gradually realizing it. I thought it still was going to be like a journey band. And then I was suddenly thinking, oh, this open mic thing is not happening. It's not a beginning of a new event. It was a very strange kind of reckoning in my mind of it all. But, you know, I tell that for a bit of comedy, but sometimes more dramatic things happen in our lives that cause us to question what we're building our foundations on. Has anyone watched the TV series Dr. Foster? Some people, yeah. I'm going to give a little spoiler for those who haven't watched it, but it's probably quite obvious early on. But basically, you've got this lady who at the beginning of the first series, she's got a great life. She lives in this beautiful home. She has got a great marriage, a son she loves, a career that she loves and she's really good at. And basically, it shows this kind of unraveling of how few things don't make sense to her, and she gradually discovers that her husband is having an affair, his business is in a mess, he's like lost loads of her money, and basically her friends knew that it was all going on. So she goes a bit crazy because what she thought her life, which has been wonderful for all these years, was built on, was actually a lie. And it's devastating to her. And, you know, sometimes in life we might experience dramatic things that cause us to question the foundations that we're building on. But it doesn't have to be. We can review that at any point. And in this parable that we're going to be looking at today, you know, Jesus is speaking to the fact that he knows, as human beings, what we're building as our foundations is fundamental for human flourishing, for us as individuals, but also for his purposes. So we're going to be looking at that. So if you've got your Bibles or your smartphones, if you want to go to Matthew 7, verse 24. It's Matthew 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. Great was its fall. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So I just want to read it to you in the Message version as well before I talk about it a bit, because I thought it's really helpful. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. And so, I'm just going to talk into this morning. You know, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will speak to each of us. You know, I know in this room, we're all at different places. Some of us have been following Jesus for a long time. Some of us, maybe this is new. Some of us are just exploring whether or not what is this all about to follow Jesus. But just praying that the Holy Spirit will speak into wherever we're at. So in this parable, The house is us. It could be us as individuals, as a couple or a family, or us as the whole church family. And obviously, Jesus is wanting us to avoid the house falling down and collapsing. So let's just explore how we can avoid that. You know, Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock." So what does it mean to hear the words of God? Quite a number of years ago now, I was driving back from London and I was listening to a Joyce Meyer sermon thing. And I can't remember anything about the talk now, but one thing that I remember that really kind of spoke to me, she said something like, "When the difficulties of life come, you need to know that you've got enough of the word of God in you to sustain you through it." And as she said that, just this thought came into my head, which, you know, felt was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Oh, I'm going to need to remember that soon. And that actual kind of coincided at the time with my sister and other people from River and the Journey, like having a really bad car accident, which obviously was a difficult time for me. Obviously, it was worse for my sister, but it was hard for me because I was involved in looking after her. And when me and my mum first went to America at the hospital, it obviously was like very traumatic and stressful for us to see her in the way that she was. And God gave me this psalm. And every time when I could have a little break from her hospital room and like go and get some lunch or something, I just like read the psalm, because, you know, in those kind of situations, you're so stressed that you can't really think or stuff. But just reading those words and feeling like God had particularly given me that psalm, it was just really soothing into that situation, and was just one way how God sustained me personally through that. So in order to build our lives on the rock, we need to position ourselves to hear the word of God and to be able to act on it. You know, we need to be kind to ourselves and set ourselves up to succeed. So we need to have realistic reflections around what that looks like. You know, sometimes we can all think that it's for some people that we think are the super spiritual Christians. They're the ones who do that kind of thing. But, you know, that's not true. It's for all of us, no matter where we think that we are at. And so I just want us to think about this thing of what is the word of God? How do we position ourselves to hear it? The first thing to take on board is in John 1, verse 1, says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." It's talking about Jesus. So fundamentally, first of all, Jesus is the word. So we want to make space in our lives for the presence of God. We want to invest in our relationship with God. That's the first place where we start. And, you know, sometimes we can get stuck in that, or maybe depending where we're at, it might feel like, what does that even mean? How do I invest in my relationship with God? And I'm not really going to go massively into that today, but I just encourage you just to explore that. Ask people around you who feel like, seem to know what to do with that, and discover that for yourself. But that's the most important thing. We want to make space for our relationship with God and the presence of God in our lives. The second thing to consider, you know, Jesus taught his followers, and we read what he taught them in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and in the rest of the Bible. And so we want to position ourselves to be taking hold of Scripture, meditating on it, getting it into us. You know, I know that many of us are already doing that, but, you know, maybe for some of us, we used to be good at it and we feel like we're finding it a bit hard at the moment. Or maybe for some of us, we've never really been able to get into that. But it's really like fundamental, getting into the Bible. I know it's like, you know, that can be like a burden. When I was preparing this, I just remembered when I was 10, I was at a wedding, and the groom, in his speech, I don't know why, it seems a bizarre thing to say, but he was like, "Christians should read 5 chapters of the Bible every day." And so as a 10-year-old, this kind of, I thought, oh, this is what a Christian is supposed to do. They're supposed to read 5 chapters of the Bible every day. And throughout my like teenage years, I'd be thinking, right, if I just got up a bit earlier before school, maybe I'd have more time to read the Bible. And obviously, I never succeeded in it. It was like this burden of like not being a good enough Christian because I'm not reading 5 chapters of the Bible. But then when I was at university onwards, you know, I began to discover that it's not about reading this amount of the Bible. It's actually that in the scriptures, we encounter God and it changes me and it brings me life. And so stuff started to gradually shift for me, because instead of being like, I need to read 5 chapters in order to be a good enough Christian, which plays well to my personality of wanting to succeed and do well. So this is the rules. And then failing at it. But, you know, it's like, actually, I find God there in Scripture. And I'm not saying, of course, there is still discipline involved in that. And sometimes I don't read the Bible every day. I try to. I do it more than not. And sometimes it is a discipline because I know it's good for me and it changes me. But it is about communing with God there in Scripture. And so I just want to encourage us afresh with that, you know, and we can do that in all kinds of ways. There is something about us personally reading the Bible. There's loads of apps and devotions that help us. But, you know, it's all the stuff that we know, reading books that help us with that, listening to talks, talking about it with friends, all of that kind of stuff where we want to get Scripture into us. One of my friends has dyslexia, and so she finds like reading really, really hard. So maybe for some of us, it's just like reading is really tough, and so that feels like a bit of a burden to us. And for her, she suddenly, in the last year or so, discovered Audible, you know, the Amazon app where it's spoken, and they have that for the Bible as well. And it's like now she's become a very well-rounded reader because she's just loving it because she can listen to it, whereas it'd be hard for her to get past like one page normally. So, you know, I'm just throwing that out. I'm sure you already know about these things, but throwing out ideas. Also, has anyone got like those new Bibles that exist now where you can colour stuff in and they have pictures and you can do all kinds of things with it? That is another really great resource, which I know that for some people in the journey, that's opened up the Bible to them. So just thought I'd throw that out there. So we want to make space for the presence of God. We want to get into Scripture. You know, Jesus, when he's been tempted by the devil in Matthew 4, one of the things he says is, Matthew 4, verse 4, but it is, he answered, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what the word of God is like to us. It's very life to us. You know, the word of God challenges our perceptions and belief systems. Just give you a simple example that we all experience. You know, all of us have been wronged by someone else, and maybe it's been in a very profound way that's caused great hurt to our lives and had long-term consequences. And when we're in that place where someone has hurt us, often our natural human reaction is wanting to hurt that person back because we want them to experience what they have done to us. They've caused us deep pain. We want them to know what that feels like. And, you know, maybe we do that or we don't. But even if we do inflict pain on that person who's hurt us, I would imagine for most people that pain, that unforgiveness eats away at them still. They're still not free from that thing. And so from a human perspective, taking God's perspective out of the equation, you can totally understand why, you know, terrible things that people have done to people, why they might not forgive them. You can think, well, fair enough. That thing that's happened is so atrocious. How could you forgive someone? But we know that Jesus teaches us about forgiveness because forgiveness isn't just for that other person, it is for us. It sets us free. we don't know how to carry this. I don't know if any of you watched a couple of weeks ago the documentary about Stephen Lawrence that was on BBC. It was a three-part documentary. Anyone see it? And, you know, one of the really profound things, Stephen Lawrence's father, Neville Lawrence, you know, you just can't imagine what it's like for your son to be murdered because of the colour of their skin. And it just, as we know, it destroyed their family. It broke up their marriage. He can't even live in this country because of the pain. And so he's not able to see his children, his grandchildren, because they're living in a different country in the same way that he would. And so his life has been destroyed by it. But he actually said that he has forgiven those murderers, which is amazing. And he talked about, you know, because it has set him free. Now, it doesn't mean to say that he doesn't want justice for the remaining people who haven't been caught, you know, they haven't had enough evidence to convict them. He still wants justice, but he's free because he's forgiven. And I just felt like for some of us this morning, maybe we feel like our lives are falling apart at the moment or unraveling in some way. And it could be that because of something that's happened, that we've started to build ourselves on the sand of unforgiveness rather than the rock of forgiveness. And I just feel, you know, the gentle encouragement of the Holy Spirit in the loving way that he does, just speaking into that and offering hope that by his grace, it is possible to explore forgiveness. And it's almost like sometimes in forgiving, we are surrendering to God and trusting him with justice in certain situations. I'm not saying that humans aren't involved in bringing justice as well, but in the place of forgiveness, there is that surrender. And so that might be appropriate for some of us this morning. The other way that God speaks is he speaks to us directly. You know, we in River really value the prophetic. And our, you know, our history as a church and group of churches, both corporately and individually, has been shaped by the prophetic. When God speaks to us directly, either to us personally or through other people. And so this is a really important thing. And so when God speaks to us, or someone else shares with us something they feel that God's saying, we need to go through that process of discerning. Do we feel that this is what God's saying? You know, we look at scripture. Does it fit with that? We pray about it. We talk to people we trust with it. But once we've discerned whether or not we feel like, yes, this is a word from God for us, whether it's individually or corporately, then we need to take that on board in the way that we would with these other things we've talked about, to position our lives to act upon the word of God. And, you know, I just thought I'd share a little bit about, some of you may know that as the journey, we have run this project called the Forest Estate Community Hub. And we're based in, so obviously Surrey is kind of rich place, like a lot of places in the south of England. And Englefield Green has got a lot of big houses and all of that kind of middle class kind of area. But it also has this council estate, which when we started was, I don't know, the statistics haven't been updated, but it was the fourth highest area of relative deprivation in Surrey. And there was a lot of children causing a lot of problems with antisocial behaviour, and it's really hard to connect with them and their families. So it was kind of like two different worlds living in this little village. And, you know, in my time of leading the journey, and not just me, but with everybody else as well, the way we've gone about things has been really, you know, it's been in response to what we felt like God has been saying to us and trying to follow him in all of that. So I think it was about 2008, so it's funny to think it was 10 years ago now, two people in the journey both felt like, because we were very focused on students at the time, and two people in the journey felt like God say, when Jesus tells the disciples to put the nets on the other side and they catch this miraculous catch of fish, two people felt independently of each other. That's what God was saying to us as the journey. And we started to feel like we should do stuff on the Forest Estate, but that was kind of a confirmation to us. And someone else in the journey had a dream. And in the dream, we were like on this particular mountain of God as the journey at the time. And there was another mountain and people from it, there were like young families and babies and children and all kind of thing. And they were calling the journey to come over and help them. And, you know, at this point, we had no idea of what it would become. So we felt like, that's kind of weird. What does that mean? But it felt like it was God speaking to us. So as things developed over time, over different years, as you go along, we were doing different stuff. When the opportunity came for us to partner with the council and other local organisations to set up the Forest Estate Community Hub, the fact that God had said all these different things, and there are other things as well which I haven't mentioned because of time, we had a confidence that this was the direction that God was calling us in. It was still hard in many, many ways, but that shaped the direction that we went. And the things that God has already done through the hub are way more than anything we could have thought was possible, because I always say we still don't really know what we're doing. But, you know, God is with us and his favour is on it. And just like last week, we work a lot with all different ages, but a massive part of what we've done over the years has been working with children. We got to do an assembly last week in one of the schools that a lot of children from it come to stuff and have done over the years. And so I thought, right, I'm just going to go for it. So we basically designed this assembly. We were telling them about the hub and what's on offer and how they can get involved. But we decided to pitch it as, this is what Jesus is like. He's our inspiration. And so therefore, this is what we want the hub to be like. And at the end of the assembly, surprisingly, but good, the deputy head actually asked me to pray for the children. I was like, yes, happily. So I got to pray for the children and I was like, this is awesome. This is everything I would have wanted. So, you know, it's like, as we all know, these things take time for them to happen. We wouldn't have been able to do that and got that opportunity 5 years ago. But God has been leading us. And so we've been following him in that. And I thought I'd just share that with you for an encouragement. So we're looking at the word, the presence of God, scripture, and the prophetic word of God. If we build our lives on the word of God, like Jesus says, we'll be building it on a rock. And it talks about, you know, where these things come, the floods and the rains, the beatings of life, and yet we still stand firm. And the reality is that, as we all know in this room, because we've all experienced different things, that difficult things do happen in life. Things blindside us. And so what happens as a consequence of those things happening is so to do with whether or not we have built our lives on the rock or on the sand, not necessarily the circumstances themselves. A number of years ago, I was in South Africa for a few weeks. I'd been in Mozambique for a few months, and then I was kind of having the final week in South Africa. And in that time, I stayed with two different ladies. They're both Christians. One of the ladies, her husband had, very unexpectedly, he was perfectly healthy and everything. They had three children. And he was like on a ministry trip to another country and playing a sport. I'm not sure which one it was. And basically just dropped down dead during that game from a heart attack. No knowledge before that he had any heart problems. And his wife and family were back in South Africa. So obviously that's absolutely the worst thing you could possibly think that would happen. So I met her, and I also met another lady who... her husband had unexpectedly left her and divorced her. And it was really interesting reflecting on where these two ladies were at now. One of them was, had rebuilt her life with God and had a joy to her despite the suffering that she had experienced, and had some fresh sense of purpose of God. She'd been through the most tragic situation, and yet she was still standing firm. It's not like she wasn't being real about what was going on and what had happened, but there was a difference about her. The other lady, she just seemed very bitter and depressed, and it was very, very sad, and you could totally understand why she would be. But it felt like the difference was, in the time that I spent with these two different ladies, was that one of them knew that she was loved by God and that God was a loving father and built her life on that. And the other lady didn't seem to know that so much. I'm not judging. It's just my observations in life and how you respond to different tragic situations. And so at that point in my life, it really did make me think, oh, it's interesting about what you go for in these things and how suffering affects them. It was kind of a reflection that I had. Earlier this year, at the Journey Weekend Away, we had Ness Wilson, who's a church leader in Loughborough, come and speak. And she has been through really tragic situations. Firstly, her mum died from cancer younger than she should have lived for. That was really hard. About a couple of years later, her son died when he was one day old. And then a couple of years later, her one-year-old daughter got cancer. And so, you know, that is terrible tragedy. But the thing about her is that she's always been very real about how that has been to process all of those things. But she has not let that define her. She's not a bitter person. She's a joyful person. She's not living in a non-reality. She's very real. But, you know, she hasn't let it change her view of God as loving and good, or stuff like that. And when I was interviewing her at our Weekend Away, the thing she said was that in her 20s, before these tragedies all happened in her 30s, God had done so much work in her, and I guess she'd done it with God, of just establishing himself as a loving, good father and her as a loved daughter. And so she felt like that foundation was absolutely key for when these most horrendous things all happened, you know, after each other, for sustaining her through that. And again, it's just another picture of how are we building our lives on the word of God. So when the storms of life come, we don't fall. So I just also felt, just to encourage you guys, whether it's as individuals, couples, families, and collectively as a church, that there may be some prophetic words or scripture that has been really important to you before. But because of maybe things of life that have come in, you haven't yet seen it be fulfilled, disappointments that have come, it's kind of gone on the back burner. And I just feel this morning that God is wanting to remind you of the things that he has said over your life, but also over the church. In particular, I felt that there may be some people here who, for whatever reasons, it could be all different kinds of reasons. It could be age-related, circumstances that have happened, or a lack of hope, where you kind of feel like, well, maybe this is it now, I'm done. And that's actually quite sad for you. And I just felt God just wanted to encourage you, you're not done yet. Just feel like God is just wanting to breathe in fresh hope. God doesn't finish with us. You know, that's not how he works in his kingdom. No matter what, God wants to go on an adventure with us. This last week, I was at a funeral of a lady who was 80, and she died of cancer. And it was just really encouraging in a weird kind of way, as sometimes funerals can be. Basically, she's a Methodist preacher, and she just knew that that's what she was called to do. And like Jan Vickers modelled for us, she was determined that this cancer was not going to rob her of what God called her to do. So she had this arrangement where her best friend, who was a retired Anglican priest, took her to these places where she was due to preach. And if she couldn't manage it because she didn't feel well enough, her friend would preach for her. And that carried on until the day she died a couple of weeks ago, which is really amazing and really encouraging, isn't it? Because obviously it's still like, you know, we don't want people to die from cancer. We still would pray that she had got healed. And she didn't get healed, but she didn't let that rob her of who God had said she was up until the moment that she died. And now she's experiencing the greatest adventure of all. So we need to position ourselves to hear the word of God. We also need to position ourselves to act on the word of God. It is possible to hear the word of God and to not act on it. And hearing the word of God and not acting on it is just the same as, you know, building our lives on the sand rather than on the rock. You know, maybe sometimes life, there's so much that goes on. We can be so busy that we don't allow space for our lives to be shaped by the word of God and for us to be able to act on the word of God. And if that's a situation you find yourself in right now, you might not be able to change it immediately, but I would encourage you to take a long-term view and to reflect, how can you create space in your lifestyle? What brave, courageous decisions might you need to make so that you are creating that space to hear and act on the word of God? You know, us acting on the word of God is not a solitary event. We need each other. It happens in Christian community where we encourage each other, we hold each other to account. We're inspired by looking at how each other are doing that. And I know that we all know this kind of thing, but it's just good to be encouraged and just to remember that that is how it happens. You know, you guys as River Church Marlow, just want to encourage you that you've got a unique contribution to bring to the body of Christ here in Marlow and in River Church as a whole. And, you know, in seeing God's kingdom come here and beyond. And, you know, I just sense it's really important. I don't really know where you're at with vision and strategy and stuff. Obviously, I know this is a new season with new leaders. But I just feel just to really encourage you to know who you are and to be confident in who you are and God, who God has created you to be as a church. You know, in the way that we do as human beings with each other, it's also, I know that I do this as a church leader, it's really easy to compare your church to someone else's church and thinking, oh, their church is like that. If we were just a bit more like that, that would be great or whatever. Maybe you don't do that because you're secure. But I just want to encourage you to know what is your unique contribution, who has God created you to be, and to unashamedly be it and be confident in it, in bringing what God has called you to bring in this season, because the Church of Christ will be poorer without your contribution, and the kingdom of God will come more as you continue to bring who God has called you to be. So I just encourage you to reflect on that again. Remember prophetic words that God has spoken over you as a church. Maybe there's new things that God's saying in this season. And just go for it, because God has got good things. So that's the end of what I have to say. Hopefully it wasn't too long. I'm not sure. I'm getting confused with the time. Maybe it was too long. Sorry if it was. I just want to do a response now, just some things. Some of the things that were said before, let what's dead come to life, people feeling stuck, people needing a summer season. You know, I think some of those things are relevant. So there's three areas that I felt God particularly wanted to speak into. For those of us who maybe feel like we're like the house that's falling under the beatings of life, and I just feel the Holy Spirit just wants to show you, speak into that. For those of us who feel that it's over for whatever reason, God is wanting to speak fresh hope and vision and fresh perspective into that. And just God, it's just wanting to remind us of prophetic words. So let's just take a moment. You might want to close your eyes. And let's just let the Holy Spirit speak to us. So we'll just have a few moments of silence just to allow that space just to hear the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just thank you so much for this church here in Marlow and for everybody that's in this room, Lord. Thank you that each one is precious to you, Lord, and that you see them, see their situation. Thank you, Lord, that you want to release hope, fresh vision, fresh revelation, that you want to readjust us and reposition us where we need to. So, Lord, I just pray that you would just release your grace over us in areas of our lives where maybe we're not building on your rock. Holy Spirit, enable us by your grace to reposition ourselves. Help us to encourage each other in that. And Lord, I pray for those who are feeling like it's done, I'm finished, whatever the reasons are. Holy Spirit, would you speak into that? Would you renew our minds with the truth about what you have to say? Would you release fresh perspective, fresh hope, fresh vision? Lord, would you remind us of things that you've spoken into us individually and collectively over the years, Lord? Would you bring dead things back to life? And Lord, we just pray for this church here in Marlow. Thank you that this church is a blessing to the Church of Christ and to the people in this town, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for a boldness for this church just to be who you've created it to be, Lord, to partner with you in seeing your kingdom come. And we pray for that fresh sense of re-envisioning in this new season for the church, Lord. Let there be fresh joy, fresh excitement for you, Lord, and just a fresh momentum of you moving among them and through them, Lord. So just bless this church, I pray. Amen.